Welcome to the Clear Admit MBA Admissions Podcast. I'm Graham Richmond, and you are about to hear a mini episode of the show that is part of a series of admissions director interviews I conducted at the annual GMAC conference, which took place in New Orleans this year. The GMAC conference brings together admissions directors and other admissions professionals from leading business schools across the globe. So obviously, it's a great opportunity for folks like me to kind of get their attention and talk with admissions directors and get all the latest on anything going on with the application process. So I sat down with admissions directors from a number of schools, and I asked them questions about how their team looks at artificial intelligence and its use in the application process. We talked about video in the application process, a lot of schools using kind of video interviews, online things these days, and also just general trends in the applicant pool and some other just admissions tips that they wanted to offer our audience. These are short, they're 10 minutes long, and I just had a lot of fun connecting with, you know, these admissions directors, many of whom are friends, I've known for 20 years now working in this industry. So please sit back and enjoy. And I will say, pardon the background noise. I mean, these are kind of man on the street type interviews. I was grabbing admissions directors right and left and taking them to the lobby of the hotel to kind of have a quick conversation. So you'll hear, you know, things rattling around in the background, whatever, but just enjoy. And yeah, a lot of great advice. So these are must listen if you're applying to any of these schools.
All right. So Graham here from the GMAC conference. And as I promised all of our listeners, I'm going to doing these sort of short sound bites with some of our friends in admissions. And right now I'm joined by Brent Nagamine. Is that how you pronounce your last name?
Yep. Yeah, Nagamine.
All right. Nagamine. And just tell us, yeah, from University of Washington, Foster School of Business, but tell us a little bit about your role, what's your current title, and then I have a couple of questions for you.
Hey everyone, thanks for listening. So as Graham said, my name is Brent Nagamine. I'm our Director of Admission at the University of Washington Foster School of Business. I oversee admission, recruiting, marketing for our full-time, evening, and global MBA programs.
Excellent. And I've actually had the privilege, I did not see you when I was there, but I've been on the campus, mm-hmm. and I just remember on a hill, overlooking, you know, what a great spot. And obviously, we talk a lot on the podcast about the placement that you guys are able to achieve because of your proximity to so many great tech companies. Yeah. I mean, I'm always just look at your career report and I'm like, wow, what a great school to go to. I mean, just, some of those big names that we all know are in Seattle. So I have a couple questions for you. So the first one is, how does the admissions team at Foster feel about artificial intelligence, generative, you know, all these tools, ChatGPT, and like any guidance that you would offer to candidates who are like, oh, I have to write essays. Can I use these tools? Like, or how, you know, do you like these tools? Do you think people should, you know, avoid them? Like, what's your take as an admissions team?
Man, that is a is a can of worms question. So thanks for opening it. I have a lot of nuanced thoughts on this. And the first thing is that I just got to recognize the reality of it, that the cat is out of the bag. We're not putting this toothpaste back in the tube. And so AI is here, and I think it would be pretty regressive for us to imagine that we can try to limit that in any really meaningful way. Yeah. And so depending on when your listeners are hearing this, we will either have just announced or we'll be about to announce just a couple more structured guidelines on how we would encourage folks to use AI in the admission process.
Oh, wow. Okay.
It'll just be on our website. Nothing nothing huge, not a press release, but we do want to provide some clarity on this.
Yeah.
And my general thought here is that in some ways, AI democratizes the sort of privilege that maybe some folks have had for a very long time. You know, there have been admissions consultants, a lot of folks who are able to maybe help, maybe even help with essay editing or essay generation, but that's always cost a huge amount of money.
Right.
And I think that AI in some ways just kind of gives that same privilege to a lot of other people.
Right.
What I will note though is that I think what we're still seeing is that it is really important that as folks are using this, they not just put a prompt in and let the computer write everything for them.
Right.
And what I will say is that on the admission side, an essay has always been a little bit helpful to help us understand your writing ability, but the real value for us has always come from the content itself.
Sure.
And so I would never encourage someone to use one of these tools in a way that will take away their agency for creating that content.
Right.
I'd want to make sure that folks are still presenting their story, their motivations, they are articulating how their trajectory lines up with the resources that we have at Foster to present a really good match there. And so using AI as a place to get started or compile some of your thoughts, I don't think that's the worst thing in the world, yeah. but I don't want any candidate to ever feel like that's enough or that's where they should end things.
Right, okay. Yeah, and we talk a little bit on the show from week to week about, yeah, the, as a brainstorming tool, it can be quite useful. I mean, we even, you know, at ClearAdmit occasionally use it internally to, like, brainstorm ideas or, yeah. or things, and I think it can be quite useful. And I love your take on sort of democratizing access to this, you know, the ability to sort of create content and think about these things. So, no, that's a great point. I guess on a related note, I wanted to know if you had a video component in your application process. And the reason I'm asking this question is because I sort of wonder if, you know, if everyone's able to use tools to create essays, like the beauty of like a video and, it, you know, because you can't do an in-person interview with every candidate, but having a video component in your admissions process, I think, allows you to get at the candidate a bit more and really get, you know, get to know them. But what, yeah, so how does video play a role in your process and, yeah, what are you looking for there?
Yeah, so we do use a video interview component. Every single candidate about 1 to 2 days after our admission deadline will receive an email invitation inviting them to complete the video interview.
Okay.
It's, I think, pretty straightforward, but I will admit, having gone through it myself as an MBA candidate or MBA graduate at Foster,
yeah.
I know it can feel really awkward going into it.
Yeah.
I want to express, we are not here expecting perfection.
Mm-hmm.
We are using this as a snapshot to maybe help us assess three things. We want to get an understanding of how you think on your feet. So we do care about content. We want to understand, you know, how you're able to quickly put some ideas together.
Okay.
We want to understand your communication style. So are you able to articulate your thoughts clearly? Are you able to help us understand what's going on in your head? And the third one is that we sometimes can get a bit of a snapshot of your professional demeanor, maybe some of your professional judgment.
Yeah.
Just depending on, you know, how you set up your video, if you set up yourself for success,
right.
you know, are you taking the video in a calm, you know, bedroom or office, or are you doing it on your handheld device in the back of a moving car, right? So yeah. a little bit of judgment there, but...
right, no, but I get that, yeah.
Those generally are the three kind of snapshots that we're going to get out of this.
Okay.
So the format for it, I mentioned candidates are getting an invite 1 to 2 days after the admission deadline.
Okay.
They're going to log on, create a quick account, and we have about 180 different questions that are stored in this system.
Okay.
Candidates will randomly get two of those.
Oh, okay.
You'll see the question, you'll have 30 seconds to prepare your answer, and the camera's going to start recording automatically. You'll have 90 seconds to complete your answer.
And it's a done deal. Like, you don't get to do retakes, right? You do it, or
with our system, we don't allow retakes.
Okay.
Right
now. No, I think that makes sense. Like, I really feel like if I were on the admissions side, it's such a great way to, yeah, just see how somebody thinks on their feet a little bit. And yep. also to just have that, you know, when I was in admissions, you couldn't meet everyone, right?
Yep.
But this is, like, not a bad way to kind of get a look at everybody, see, you know, how they, as you say, how they kind of present, et cetera.
Yeah.
So I think it's great. And so you're doing it for everyone. So it's not like they have to have made some sort of cut. It's like
right.
literally, okay.
That's for everyone. And I want to reemphasize, because it can feel awkward going into it, or you can yeah. feel like there's this anxiety because you've only got the one shot for each question.
Right, right.
And I really want to double down on this idea. We are not expecting perfection.
Right.
It's just a lot more about, give us some clues about those three things. The
okay.
communication, the ability to think on your feet, and your professional judgment.
Okay, excellent. All right, so last question for you, because I know there are a lot of other things you could be doing at the conference. So I don't want to take too much of your time. Anything about that you're seeing on the ground with respect to the career goals that people talk about in their application process when they're applying to Foster? Has anything been shifting over time there? We're just always keen to kind of have our ear to the ground on that. So, yeah, what are people telling you they want to do, and has that changed?
Yeah, that's a great question. So, you know, I'll say one thing about being at Foster is that we are kind of pegged as this tech school.
Right.
And I think that that's probably for good reason. I would make the argument that there's no school that's better connected to the tech industry than Foster is.
Yeah.
And because of that, we're always bringing in lots of folks who are interested in the Amazons or the Googles or the Microsofts, and I don't expect that to change. I should also be clear that we're not one-dimensional. We do a lot of other things very well.
Yeah.
So we have strong placement in consulting. We do things in consumer packaged goods, but I do think that tech drives it. And truthfully, we're not seeing a big change to those sort of industry demands or the functional demands that come with it.
Okay.
What I will note, however, is that as some of these industries are just a little bit more volatile than they used to be, it's really important that folks are coming in with a clear understanding of how our resources can help them get to their goals, but also maybe an idea of what they'd want to do if their first choice plan doesn't pan out.
Sure.
So we are seeing more people who are coming in with a slightly better articulated vision of what plan B or C might look like.
Okay. Oh, that's interesting. Yeah, and I think, you know, there are a number of schools that we've been talking to who now, even in part of their application process, they're saying, what are your goals? Mm-hmm. And what are your goals if that doesn't work?
Yeah. You know,
and I'm trying to think of some of the schools. I think Stern does it. There are a handful of schools mm-hmm. that are doing that now. And I think that's great because, you know, the more that you've thought through some of these pathways, the more effective you can be when you're in you know, in the MBA program and so on. I guess the other thing I was thinking of is, you know, you have the strength in tech, but tech in of itself has been shifting, you know, obviously mm-hmm. we just talked about artificial intelligence. There's mm-hmm. so many things happening.
Yeah.
And even sustainability, you know, as more and more of these companies are demanding, you know, kind of cloud computing and all these energy intensive resources, like the idea of sustainability comes into play. Mm-hmm. And so we do hear people talking about that, but yeah, it's just interesting. And I think you're being, it's funny because I really, as I was saying earlier, whenever I see their career report, I'm always impressed at the connections that you all have to some of those, you know, the Microsofts, the Amazons that are right in your backyard, I guess, right? So, and they must, I mean, I'm assuming that University of Washington has deep ties with these entities, even not just at the MBA level, but the university must, I mean. Just,
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Obviously, I'm a little bit biased, but one thing which I will die on this hill. I believe that there is no school in a major U.S. city that is better connected to its city mm-hmm. than the University of Washington and Foster are to the city of Seattle.
Oh, interesting.
It's a really, really cool relationship that we have, and it absolutely benefits our students as they are exploring new careers, as they're doing the interviews, as we're trying to get folks onto campus to do things like the case competition judges or you know, guest speakers in classes. The connection we've got to industry is pretty powerful.
Yeah, excellent. All right, well, Brent, I really appreciate you making some time to do this. And yeah, just great seeing you as always. Yeah,
of course, Graham. Good to see you.
All right.